Thank you. All right, so the next case that we're looking at today is Portland Milwaukee Light Rail Transit West Side Alignment Lincoln Street Segment. It is a briefing. Dave's not here today. Sean Batty. And John from ZGF, I'm sorry.
James McGrath.
James McGrath. That's right. Thank you so much for being here today. And take it away.
I'll go ahead and just provide a little context to set the stage and then hand it over. As you recall, our usual cast of friends across the table here are back again. Formally, the review you saw last for the bridge is well on its way, and recently TriMet was before us with a briefing for the Harbor Bridge structure, to which that project has been submitted and is in for formal review right now. I'm working on that, and you will see that again. I believe we have a date set for June. This project is going to set the stage for a segment, which we touched on at the last briefing. We're going to focus on specifically today on this segment for the Lincoln Street portion of the West Side Alignment. What we're here today to talk about and ultimately will be is a Type 2 design review. Presumably, if all goes well, you will not see this again, meaning that staff will render a decision of approval and it will not be appealed. That being said, though, this briefing is very important to inform the team and staff relative to any concerns or advice on the design that you'll see today. Specifically, and the reason why I'm taking the time to walk through it is it's a little different than usual. Most of the elements you'll see discussed today in the Lincoln Street are what we call standard improvements in the right-of-way. They are a kit of parts that are pre-approved, if you will, to match existing right-of-way standards. There are elements of this proposal, however, which is specific, a part of the focus, of what we call non-standard improvements, and it's those elements that trigger design review and what we'll be talking about today more specifically and to get your advice. That's technically the subject of the future design review. That's not to say that the applicant's here to hear comments on all aspects, but I just want to be clear that there's portions of this that are technically reviewable and portions of this that are not subject to review. But for the sake of having a coherent conversation today, we probably are going to jump from back and forth to keep that conversation going in a coherent fashion. Any questions?
Will you just briefly identify which are under our purview or are we going to comment on that?
We'll listen to everything.
I'll be general. In a very shortest of terms, the centerline boulevard of trees are being removed from Lincoln Street. They need to be by the nature of the rail and its alignment. They are standard aspects of the South Auditorium Plan District. They're not coming back. For that reason, part of the review is about that non-standard improvement not being replaced. However, the team is here to talk about many other aspects that are other also considered non-standard in a way is mitigating that element, that its loss of that element, but also really talking more globally, as we've touched on before, is how this rail is kind of setting a new story for this part of the South Auditorium Plan District and creating a new image for this section of the rail and through this district. And there's components of that that fall into the Halperin district, components relative to the station. I think there's some exciting elements I hope TriMet's ready to embrace relative to new improvements in the rail and in this corridor specific to this district that will help presumably enhance and create a new space along Lincoln. So I guess the longer answer to that is I'll referee the discussion, if you will, and help you know what's in bounds and what's out of bounds.
Will that fit under the new tree code or the old tree code?
I think the permitting timing of this will probably get it in before the
new and improved tree code.
You could say it that way.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you all for your time on this committee and for hearing us today. Again, I'm Sean Batty. I'm the design manager for the West segment of the Milwaukee project for TriMet. I do want to just indicate in response to Commissioner Work is the presentation you're about to see is organized at some levels to sort of distinguish between standard and non-standard or special. So I think if we allow James to get through it, the structure of the presentation will help kind of guide that. But I was serious. We mainly want to talk to you about the whole picture here and where the design team's coming from with the whole picture, and really aren't asking you to filter your comments in that regard. The sort of standard non-standard I think of as more of a procedural issue in actually executing the Type 2 review with staff. So with that small preamble, I think you all have seen this slide many times and are well aware of the project. Very, very significant transit investment, lots and lots of benefits. You've seen this slide before, which is a depiction of the west segment of the 3/4 major segments of the project, running from the south end of downtown on 5th and 6th Avenue to the west abutment of the Willamette River Transit Bridge. I do want to spend a little bit of time. Obviously, this process is sort of the key formal public process with respect to design, but I wanted folks to be aware that we do a tremendous amount of outreach and different types of public process and public engagement as part of the core work of this project, including 2 public open houses that are extremely well advertised, specific to the station area. We have met previously and we'll meet again with the Halpern Landscapes Conservancy. We've had several meetings at different levels with the Bicycle Advisory Committee. And in addition, just tons and tons of ad hoc meetings over issues with individual property owners and stakeholders. You can see on the right side, we're not done with this action, and we're certainly not done with engagement for a long time, and we're continuing to gather input all the way through the end of final design. The hope and the idea is that, you know, we're sort of narrowing the range of input and starting to zero in on the design. But the key here is that we, as the representatives of the broader stakeholders, really take the public input seriously, including talking about urban design. And this is a slide showing some summary criteria from one of our public engagement processes that was specific to urban design and design previously, and it went under the moniker the Possibilities Project. I think you either formally as a body or briefing or individually maybe heard of some of this. And this is just an example of something we've done previously and how we take that previous work and previous input and bring it forward, not as a fait accompli, but as kind of a reoccurring iterative check-in with the community about, are we on the right sort of target with the design drivers? Some language things, I think most of you are pretty familiar, but similar to this notion, but not exactly identical to this idea of standard and non-standard, is the sense that the agency has of 2 kinds of elements on the project. One is elements of consistency that are there for sort of pragmatic, practical reasons, and then elements of distinction, which are really meant to carry the sort of responsibility, the good responsibility of making these station areas sort of reflective of their more local community. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our lead designer on the project, urban designer James McGrath with ZGF.
Thank you. So sorry for the color rendition on this, but here's an overview from the conceptual design report showing the South Auditorium District. And this is actually was my introduction to Portland. I came up here to work on the beginnings of a nonprofit organization that would preserve and maintain the Halpern Parks. And so it's this nice sort of professional loop that I'm making by getting to work on the light rail. But you come up, it's the first time you see it, and it's sort of a remarkable district. It has a sort of a consistency to it and a level of maturity now. But it's important for me to sort of always go back and understand how it got to be here. This is a slide I showed in relation to the harbor structure, talking about how South Portland is a place that's always been influenced by large infrastructure insertions, and in this case, urban renewal, the beginnings of urban renewal, going from a sort of a fabric and a texture in the 30s, like this, a very robust and integrated part, to something a little bit, I believe I've got a, something a little bit more on the super block scale that we know to, at this point in the insertion of I-405. At the time that this was clear, this is sort of Portland's first urban renewal area. It's actually the beginnings. Randy Gregg traces the beginnings of the Design Commission itself to the the development, the redevelopment schemes. There was sort of a critique and a jury set up to talk about it. But the model was definitely the Radiant City, right? This notion of towers in the park. But here in Portland, we did something that I think still stands as an exemplar of this kind of development, because we didn't just hire the architects to do the buildings, but we hired Larry Halperin to do the spaces between the parks. And you got a very sort of strong designer at the beginning of his apex, and created a sort of a metaphor about a watershed and different sort of landscapes that really starts with a source fountain, makes its way just right outside here to the Lovejoy Plaza, a whole sequence of greenways. It was the first time that we saw an urban landscape architect in this time in sort of the modernist era talking about urban space, reactivation of urban space, talking about it as a whole, as opposed to the sort of naked landscape between buildings. And that was exemplary. And what we got from it were some of the most sophisticated and beautiful landscapes in the city. Some people would say even in the country. These are sort of internationally known, Lovejoy and Forecourt. And they've gone through a period, I guess what's old is new again, but through the good work of the Halperin Landscape Conservancy and some of the adjacent property owners, these parks and Anna Halperin and Larry Halperin are starting to gain some attention. And there's a real interest, I think, at multiple levels in the city to really sort of preserve and recognize the importance of these landscapes. And what's nice about this project is that it's the, for the first time, we're really going to reinforce that whole district with the sort of density of pedestrian activity that comes with the regional rail service. And so one of the great achievements, I think, on the project is has been the location of the station itself, right at the block where both of the green streets in the South Auditorium sort of feed into. I want to go back just really briefly to talk about a diagram that we shared with you related to the harbor structure, and this is how we sort of are thinking of the project from the OMSI side, sort of the beginning of the central city, to the south waterfront side, and on up to Lincoln, and it's sort of this idea about a sequence of rooms. The rooms that flank the Willamette River Bridge have something in common with each other. There is this connective tissue of the harbor structure, and then there's this this room of special character that you enter before you get to the transit mall, before you get into our traditional understanding of downtown, and that is the South Auditorium District. To zoom in on that part of the diagram, this is sort of how we understand the sequence, both as a transit patron, but certainly as a pedestrian and all the other multi-modes. This sort of, you're in between these two big moves on the alignment. One is the South Terminus, and it's sort of a significant piece of architecture. The next is the main curve one of the harbor structure. And what we're trying to do is sort of say that there are parts of this project that form these threshold zones between 4th and 5th Avenues. There's a sort of a quiet space that's not quite of the Halperin District and not quite of the mall. There's a room of the South Auditorium in here where you're inside that green mid-century modernist district with all of its special characteristics. And you pass through another threshold zone between First and NATO as well, sort of a street that's a little bit like and a little bit different, but certainly a lot quieter. And like any good room, it has these threshold zones. The other thing that's going on is that the darker, the orange, I guess, is, which is not rendering well, is this notion that there is the absolute extents of the Halperin superblock. And within that, there is a station block and a station area. And that's this is sort of a layering that we're using to sort of guide our deployment of finishes, furnishings, things like that. Our sort of levels of investment might be a way to talk about it. In general, our plan concept is really to make a surgical insertion. This regional rail system has a whole logic unto itself to really keep that at the center and stitch this thing back together at some very explicit places that I think you'll see we get to, we're going to be reinforcing the Halperin sequence. This is sort of what it looks like in plan. Here's the terminus of the mall. We have this block between 4th and 5th that will look like a normal downtown street. We enter into the super block sequence of the South Auditorium and the station in between these two Halperin greenways. And what we expect right now, there's a sort of an extension of the greenway up to American Plaza. There's the potential with the redevelopment of PSU that they could sort of they could embrace the sequence of, as well, the sort of this site that's slated for change. Here's that other sort of threshold street before you get on the harbor structure. So again, sort of the focus of a room at the station area, some threshold zones at either side. The concept in section is there a way for us to sort of deploy the armature of the transit system, not to be reminiscent of the parkway, because we know, OCS poles and systems sort of things aren't the same as landscape, but there is this notion that we can return to sort of a symmetry of the street, that there are a lot of other parkways that will remain as part of this district, and I think we can be a part of that as well. And this is what it's sort of in a more sort of detailed rendered view of sort of how this starts to occupy the center, which might now be occupied by a tree canopy. David, this is my attempt, our attempt to sort of describe to you the deployment of which standards, because the project does sort of cross and pass through a number of places. There is a small part of this project that begins and crosses over Fifth Avenue and the Portland Mall, and we intend to put the South Mall standards back in those parts of the project to sort of stitch that back together and have the mall feel whole. And that includes things like the paving pattern on the sidewalk, the color of the OCS poles, that sort of Portland Mall silver. There's a sequence of things that we'll be doing so that this project really at this crossing will feel a part of the mall. There's this sort of first threshold that I talk about, which is really we see as a standard downtown city street. It's what's called for from a standards deployment perspective, and that would include standard street scoring, standard street materials. We would probably be using standard joint use twin ornamental poles, so it's going to look like a part of downtown with transit passing through, and we have sort of standards that guide streets that look like that. Once we get across 4th Avenue, and this is really consistent with the way the district reads now, we'll be deploying the South Auditorium standards. The most conspicuous of those are really these light fixtures. PDOT is undergoing a relighting of the entire district. This project is in close coordination with that. So we are looking at a sequence of sidewalks, patterns, things like that, and primarily the light fixtures will be deployed in the South Auditorium area. And then there's this piece that sort of passes through all of that, has regional continuity, and that's where we'll be deploying the TriMet standards, the things that you've come to know, platforms, TVMs, signage, all of those things that make up the transit armature and help people understand how to move and behave around these things. But, one of the things that we wanted to bring to this was something about going beyond the standard. This is where we really need your help to ratify our approach. We went out and we looked at, this is a diagram, and again, the colors, I apologize, the colors are not very good. This is the whole Halperin sequence, the territory over which we know Larry Halperin sort of had purview. And we tried to look for the deployment of the special paving in particular. And essentially what we found out is that 2nd and 3rd Avenues, which are vacated right now, they're sort of the greenways, have a particular kind of paving on them, which we'll call the greenway paving. The parks themselves are special. And believe it or not, most of the other paving and scoring, with a few exceptions at this corner and at this corner, are actually city standard kinds of pavings. So as we sort of discovered these things, we had some ideas about, how would that influence where we made our investments or where we really tried to stitch the district back together. This first diagram was saying, well, maybe we'll take that sort of special language and those special scoring patterns and all this sort of stuff, and we'll just deploy it over the length of Lincoln Street. And that we affectionately call this sort of spreading the wealth. The other was to really make something very, very significant of these crossings and emphasize the sort of being locked into the grid. And the third was really trying to do, maybe it's a sort of a hybrid approach of the two, and this is where we've landed, which is essentially trying to say that we're going to deploy those standards to reinforce and lock the station into the Greenway sequence that Halpern has set up. And so that's what we're bringing to you as a sort of a conceptual approach. And this is what we're intending to sort of do in that zone. We think that this is the right place to do the Halpern-specific paving. We have a family of details. We even have some original construction documents. We've got a group of people working to really understand the concrete mix. We've had some progress at the Cyan, learning about how to render this concrete to sort of really fit back into the district. We'd like to deploy that in between 2nd and 3rd Avenues. We also think that we'd like to reinforce the importance of those pedestrian connections by pushing some of our partner agencies to accept an enhanced treatment in the crosswalks. This is actually a non-standard thing for crosswalks to be rendered in concrete or to be rendered in the sort of Halpern style of concrete. But we think that makes important sense both to sort of tie us back, even though this area south of Lincoln isn't a part of, we don't believe it's a part of Halpern's original thinking. He was obviously thinking about connecting beyond. And this, with all of this pedestrian activity, we really want to reinforce that. The other thing that we're going to do, this is a verdant, a lush and verdant district, and this has been a difficult and it's a highly technical sort of issue, but we'd like to deploy essentially what we're calling EcoTrack, sort of a landscaped version of track that is pervious. It has some sort of green to it. Our goal here is to reinforce this station with as much landscape as we can, and this is something TriMet is working really hard to help us get there. And it's, I think it sort of reinforces, and we'll have some images, I think, that can show the deployment. The other thing that we're pushing really hard is to say that the shelter, as with most of our center city shelters, should have an enhanced canopy, in this case, a glazed canopy. This is something that you've taken a look at and in relation to the South Waterfront stations, but sort of trying to up the ante here in terms of the furnishing of the shelter. Those are the sort of four non-standard enhancements that we're looking to deploy to reinforce the importance of the station, link it into the Halpern sequence. And with that, I'll say thank you, and we look forward to your comments.
Do you have questions of the applicant, or not the applicant, but our presenters today? Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding the plane trees, how many are you taking out, and how many are you preserving?
We're not preserving any. I don't have the count of how many will be removed.
So there's the ones in the medians, but there's also the ones on the right-of-ways on both sides. So those are coming out as well.
Correct.
And what is the replacement tree?
The current thought for a replacement tree is narrowed down to either London plane tree, Bloodgood, which is an anthracnose-resistant variety, or a large maturing canopy variety of ash, probably ornamental.
So how many trees are you taking down altogether, and how many are you adding back?
I don't have those numbers off the top of my head. I can say, however, that the tree removals and replacements are fairly tightly defined by the City of Portland standard process. The juggling act here is the pressure that all the different standards put on the furnishing strip. But as you know, we've got essentially, you start with the idea of a standard spacing that is set by a number per block, but influenced by the width of planter strip, 3/6 to 4. And then what you're trying to do is make adjustments to that standard desire based on the spacing of other civil elements, driveways, lighting,
right,
that sort of thing.
I guess what I'm getting at is I was just driving up there today, and I was realizing how many plane trees are there. I'm just trying to get, like, an order of magnitude. I mean, there's something like 75 or 80 trees in that zone. So if those are all coming out, are you replacing a third of them, you know, half of them? Where do you think you're falling on that?
Give me a second. I don't want to put my staff too much on the spot, but there's somebody in the room who may be able to give me a gut check.
Who? Who's behind that wall over there?
Out.
In. You know, sorry. Can the your staff come up?
What Liz said is she doesn't know off the top of her head how many removals on a count basis, but that we feel like it's achievable to put 30 back.
And I guess just one under clarification, I found in this document I was seeing that you're proposing eco roofs on the shelters, but you're proposing glazed canopies. Is glazed canopies the current thinking?
Glazed canopies are the current thinking.
So is it one or the other? Is it one or the other, or are there two different?
The proposal is for glazed canopy.
So the eco roof is not in the proposal, but it's in the packet?
The eco roof
is a different location.
It's an either or.
Okay.
What we're proposing is a glazed roof. The eco roof was suggested by the design team, and it's something that we spent some time deliberating and talking and talking what it would mean. In some ways, if, and I don't want to be terribly trite, but if you sort of started from an intellectual exercise, you know, what are all the sort of green kit of parts that are out there, and how could you assemble them on this? Some would say maybe an obvious one is an eco roof. When we look at it from the perspective of an investment in a roof on a transit system, it's not the same as the sort of multiple benefits you necessarily get from an eco roof on a building that's heated, ventilated. We have high voltage wires that run very close on a platform, and so the ability to kind of get up and do any kind of maintenance on that roof is really limited. And without being able to point back to the sort of all the financial benefits that a building owner would point at, it becomes just as a kind of a practical, penny-pinching public agency a little hard to justify.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not asking for an eco roof. I just wanted to make sure that it was either...
Sorry for reading too much into your comment.
Well, either one or more. It was
Mr.
like
Green
a, I was trying to figure out if one was going to be on one station and one was on the other. Or,
okay. No, the proposal, excuse me, is glazed shelter roofing for all shelters in the Lincoln area. Pardon me.
Yeah, I don't need to...
So I have a question.
We have the eco track instead. Yeah. Or is that
Let me tell
there?
You about the eco track.
Is that not in there? Or is that just for
the eco track is a really a difficult lift for the agency. We've done enough work on it that I think that it's feasible to construct it. It's feasible to construct it. If it wasn't feasible to construct it, we wouldn't have shown it today. The questions are still about the feasibility in maintaining it. And the agency's really interested and has been interested for a long time because of its position in this community with coming up with another set of track treatments that give us another, you know, tool that's a little more flexible than the ones we have, which we have a very urban, very well-refined paved track, and we have some experimented with some others. The challenge in this one for me personally is being sure that if you deploy it, it doesn't become a bad example of a good idea. And
yeah,
I think it
looks quite, you know, it looks thin. Like, yeah, you know, it just looks like it'd be
thin in cross section.
The amount of soil, well, and you got a well drained base.
The reason it's called eco track instead of grass track is because it's drawing from some of the characteristics from a planning perspective of an eco roof, thin soil profile, lots of stuff under it that might need to get at it, all that kind of thing. The point here is that we're willing to offer it. It's a challenge for the agency, particularly with all the things we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. The the thing that I think makes it for me feel right, aside from all the technical and all the hand-wringing we'll do to make it, is how well it nests into the diagram that, that James just said, how it sort of is bracketed by these features. And, you know, when you can couple that kind of, this is me talking, not, I'm not the urban designer, but that kind of urban design rationale with a something that's new and special, I think it causes everyone to give it the extra attention that it'll need to be a success. But we've got a long way to go in the detailing sort of in section, but I think the image that was shown of the seed and mix and those kinds of planning approaches is very representative of the surface treatment.
The what, just the image with the green, the off to the left with the green strip next to the road and the rail is very attractive. You know, I mean, I look at that, but then I see having to go maintain the ties and inspect stuff, and it might not be as elegant as that solution in the reality of operating a system.
You can always pay over it later, right? If it doesn't work. I'm just saying it's good. It's a good idea, I think, to try it and you know, kind of see what comes out of it.
It ties
this is question period, though, right?
Yeah. Thing.
We're supposed to just ask questions, right?
Yeah. Now
we can't riff off each other's...
This is the
trains run on time.
This
here,
is a briefing.
Right? So, saying is,
this is a briefing, though.
It's yeah, it is a briefing.
It's not a formal.
Yeah,
let's,
just I think Gwen has to be somewhere.
Oh, so, yeah.
Generally speaking, I do. So, yeah. All right.
I did have a question if we're, since I can't riff off of what you're talking about. PBOT was in here, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago about this district, and they had plans to perhaps have it listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Is that still in the discussion?
I don't recall if it was PBOT or if it was the whole district or if it was the Halperin specifically.
Well, PBOT came in
because
they were talking about the new light fixtures they wanted to replace from the old ones. Lloyd was actually working with them.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no plan for that.
Yeah, I could dig into it, David. It's possible they were looking district wide, but my recollection was that may have started a conversation. There may have been looked at saying that was a good place to start, but ultimately I think it zeroed in on Halperin and maybe redefining
Anyway, there was a discussion. I'm not sure if it was district wide. And or focusing on Halperin, but there was some presentation. Am I digging up something that no one really knows about or forgot? Maybe it's dead. I don't know.
We actually do know.
Oh, okay.
And what we were doing is making sure that we're real specific. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
The Halperin Conservancy is sponsoring a historic designation for the Halperin sequence itself. So that's specifically the sort of yellow bars.
Okay.
That's in partnership with Portland Parks. And we've been aware of that, maybe not that sort of formality, that very specific legislative, but that there's a tremendous support for this as a historic key feature.
I just wanted to see if that was still on the table. Okay.
I have some questions back to the eco green track. Just looking at these two images?
Yes.
Is this like states of growth, or is it just different sedums, or what are we looking at there?
You're looking at two different images of two different places it's been done before. What you can see maybe across these images is two different approaches to planting. One is treat it like lawn, the other is treat it like low-growing ground cover. What you can also see is some continuum of how successful the plants are.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you're seeing.
And is that one of the things you're struggling with the maintenance, or is it just purely the maintenance of the plants?
You know, the maintenance aspects are many and various. And it runs everything from just track maintenance, drainage feature maintenance, what happens when a car might trespass in this area, and will they get stuck, what do they do to the damage. I think we're fairly committed to the notion of a ground cover, as I said, and I think our primary concern is with the sort of weed and debris removal from it. I think we've got enough climate knowledge and enough knowledge in how to do these thin soil profile planting that we'll have a reasonably good performance in the plants themselves.
What do you, how do you maintain the rest of the corridor for weeds? Do you spray?
The rest of this corridor?
All of the rest of the right-of-ways throughout the, out of the area.
Our rights-of-way are fairly small. We don't, you know, we actually don't have tons and tons of the landscape. We're not like ODOT.
But under the track. I know, like, the other railroad might occasionally spray some stuff on stuff.
We do, on our ballasted track, we do have a spraying program. We try and keep it to a minimum, but we do have a spraying. It's a fairly standard railroad practice. We're a little bit of a maybe kinder greener railroad than many, but certainly we do have a ballast, a weed control program.
No riffing, but it does seem that ties back to your earlier comment about being true to the character. So here we're going to make this one section green, and then we're going to spray the heck out of everywhere else and, you know, kill it everywhere else. But this one place, we're going to make it green.
Well, maybe this will be intentional. Really successful, and then they'll continue the plant.
Yeah. It's, you know.
Infamous pilot program of some sort.
I have one more question.
Yeah, you do.
On the light rail on the mall, why has all the junkus been cut in half?
I do not know.
Because I don't want to plant any more of it if we're not going to let it grow to its full height.
It's a good point, and I think that's a point we can certainly capture and work with staff is to be really crisp on what's the sort of maintenance regime for stuff in the planter strip. I tend to agree. I think what you've got out there is when it gets turned over to maintenance, they look at it and they go, "Oh, an ornamental grass," you know, and I'll maintain it accordingly. Mm-hmm. And that deployment of juncus was a little bit new, you know, and I think there's some familiarity with it as a water quality plant, but to kind of deploy it in a more standard plantership, I think there's just kind of a learning curve, and I share your concerns.
Okay, cool. I have a comment.
Go ahead.
Okay, Catherine.
We're all fighting.
Yeah, I see that.
I just want to say I think it's a good decision to not do the eco roof on the shelter, so stick with the glass.
Yeah,
I think that's
I agree. A
wise decision.
Mm-hmm.
To not do them?
Do not do it. Yeah. I was troubled by it.
Yeah, I was too, actually, so I was glad to hear that it was glazed.
See, I wasn't advocating for it.
All right, David, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see where it was here. The east end of the platform. James, you had a diagram where you were linking to Halperin's pathway, yet it really isn't linked to it because of driveways and left-hand turns and multiple left-hand turns in and out. And I guess I'm kind of curious about that because I think TriMet usually would rather drink a cup of hemlock than have somebody cross their line. So at this point, you have left turns that can go across the tracks into each development north and south of the platform?
I'll just walk through the circulation diagram, and I think the areas you're talking about. So in the eastbound direction, we have a left turn pocket. This left turn pocket allows access to this driveway and a U-turn for access to this driveway and this driveway.
Wow.
In the other direction, we have a similar left turn pocket. It allows a U-turn access to this driveway and access to, and this isn't strictly speaking a driveway, it's more of a curb cut for a loading zone, but also allows movement here if someone wanted to do that. Did I clarify?
No, I understood that. I didn't know the U-turns, though. That's even more complex, isn't it?
It's more complex geometrically, but from a sort of safety and control standard, it's basically, if you could provide a protected left turn with a pocket, which we've done here, we have that kind of condition in many places.
Yeah. And then you can also turn left out of those driveways across?
No.
Oh, you can't. Okay.
So
right turn only out of those.
Right in, right out.
All right. So it seems like it's so close, yet it just misses the trail, you know, the pathway.
Right, yeah. And that's sort of, it's just the nature of adding a signalized intersection here. What we've chosen to do is emphasize the crosswalks to the platform. And then folks would be on the sidewalk and move over to the Second Avenue sort of greenway. That's sort of the deployment that we've chosen.
And I'm sure that was a political decision for property owners that wanted to maintain their turning in and out. And
if I were to characterize,
there aren't too many other places in town where you can cross the track like that.
If I were to characterize it, I probably wouldn't characterize it political. I would probably point back to the EAS. It was really a decision that was about minimizing the impacts to local circulation. Mm-hmm. But maybe we get to the same place without the semantics.
Yeah. And one of the drawings that actually shows that as green in there, kind of a continuation of that green space on the ground plane, is that probably not going to be there then?
David, are you talking about this area?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was some early schematics that were more about kind of functional zones and things. It will not be green. It'll be a concrete intersection to support the traffic movements.
Right. And then I had a question about, James, you also had your cross-section diagram where you had the three sets of trees. And there's a spatial creation by that three-part element that has an under canopy, and we all exist under that under canopy. So I know what you're saying, that the platform takes the place of that. It occupies the same space, but not three-dimensionally. So is there any consideration for trying to create that same three-dimensional aspect of the street?
Nothing in the systems or shelter or platform armature will replicate canopy. What we've chosen to do, and I think what we're trying to create an environment in the pedestrian realm that feels the same, and trying to use that as a criteria to guide selection of the street trees. We're also going to try to deploy other objects, street lighting, whatnot, to start to set up the architecture of the street. This is a new character for Lincoln, and that's a consequence of adding the regional high-capacity transit system to this street. So we haven't thought about trying to replicate the canopy at the median.
Yeah, I'm not looking about that. For some, we can't replicate it, but is there something that can gesture to it? I don't know if even in the art kingdom that maybe can be incorporated in that way. But
okay.
And also, it seems like the shelter, the scale of the shelter could be somewhat a factor of that. Did you consider the shelter? Because what it's shown here is a fairly straightforward, low-scaled element. Is there? Did you think about that in terms of, where you are relative to Halperin's approach to design, and whether this should be off the shelf or should it be something more specific to this site?
We've absolutely thought about that, and remember the early sort of plan diagram, super sort of sketchy thing, was really surgical insertion. It was really that there's this thing, this regional system that has a logic and armature that's all its own, and it's passing through this district. We're going to try and stitch it back together, but the thing that moves through the center has its own logic and its own systems. We've thought about all of that. Should this be like this? Should this be like that? One of the things I try to advise my design team, and I think this is something that the Halperin Landscapes Conservancy would support, is that we're not interested in genuflecting to Halperin genuflecting or saying this, we're going to replicate this, or the Charles Moore structure becomes the paradigm that we look to for the shelter. What I'll say is that the diagram says the TriMet shelter belongs on a TriMet platform. The TriMet platform is in the center. And we've pushed a little bit on that, right? That there is interest in having it be a standard, and we've been able to push and say, but central city shelters at least have glazing. So that's sort of where we are at this point.
Questions?
Comments or questions?
Are we done with questions?
I'm done.
Okay, comments. Go ahead, Mr. Kellner.
Okay. I'd like to just comment about the kind of choice of diagrams that you did. I really appreciate the kind of looking at different ways you could think about the room when you arrive. But, this kind of ties into our earlier discussion in a way about the history of things, mm-hmm. and sort of adding to historical things and what's the nature of it. And in a pretty direct way, and except now we're having to think about something that's mid-century instead of 1900, right? And it's there's a part of me that feels like, you know, the Halperin piece is what it is, and let's not blur that kind of what it is, and let's let it be what it is, and let's just make our insertion kind of our time and kind of what makes sense for the system. And there's a part of me kind of looking at that diagram that drag, you know, kind of pulls the Halperin kind of paving pattern out into the street, onto the edge of the block, and then across on the other side. And I feel like, in a way, you know, his whole thing was about, you know, we had these super blocks that were created, and then trying to create this link kind of through them. You know, but they were like donuts, right, that had the special thing in the center. And it feels like, in a way, we're just sort of extending this out of the donut, you know, out into the thing that surrounded it. And it's a little bit, not only is it a little bit, I think, kind of maybe confusing the diagram that he had, but I think it's also like, if I walked out there and we succeed and we have concrete that sort of looks like all the other stuff, I kind of don't get what the original thing was, you know? So I also like to say, I think you guys over time have developed what I think is just a really sophisticated, elegant, beautiful kind of system set of parts that I think, like, just those things kind of coming through this and just being what they are is just really good. And kind of, I think sometimes the sense is that we have to bring a lot more ideas to these things to get them to be good. And sometimes I think it's just more ideas, and it isn't really contributing or making necessarily a better experience just through accumulation of more stuff and more ideas. So I sort of am of the era of simplicity, and let's bring the system through. I think losing the trees, I mean, it's light rail, and we're getting light rail in our city, and you're going to lose a few trees down the boulevard, and that's the deal. And there's some positive things about getting rid of trees, frankly, in the right of way, or you can actually see down the street and see, you know, space around you. So anyway, I think just keeping it simple, I don't see any need for apology for taking out some of the trees to bring what I think is a much more significant amenity to the rest of the city as a whole.
Okay, well, I'm going to just go around the room. If you don't have further comments to make, that's fine. Don't feel, put on the spot, but just want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to be heard as we wrap up. So, Andy, go ahead.
Hi, I'm good.
Okay, thanks. David Bork?
Sure. Well, on the other hand, we are in a very special place, and so I guess there's the perspective of, do you run things that are kind of commonplace through a very specialized uncommon place, or do you try to, and I think there are also half a dozen different kits of parts that TriMet has, and you've got the downtown stations, and then you've got stations on 205, and then you've got the ones in the Lloyd District, and you've got the original ones. So there's a kit of parts that is not consistent. So which kit of parts starts to come into play would be a question. And then why that kit of parts? I guess the question is, I've worked on historic buildings and modern Belewski buildings, and I think we took the same tack that you mentioned, James, is not what Belewski or Halperin would have done, but would they have said, hey, good job. You know, it fits, it's kind of complementary, it respects what's there already. I'm not saying any of these components necessarily do, but I think that your decisions need to be infused with that. And one or two things, you know, that really are primary to the platform are things like the shelter. So that's in the three-dimensional realm, that's your most probably prominent element. And so I guess I'd want it to be carefully considered relative to where it's at. I don't know if it's, should it be more of the downtown station, the newer ones that are right outside here? Because it technically is still part of this realm. You haven't crossed Harbor. You haven't gone underneath the Markham to a whole new district. You're closer to downtown than you are to those other districts. So I would wonder about that. And I think a very modern structure like that would fit wonderfully in there. It's of its time. It's not kind of a retro thing, you know, a rehashing of something out of the Lloyd District per se. It's more of the 21st century. So I would just maybe suggest looking at
the shelter, and then the other shelter, I guess there's a sub-shelter that then covers your vending machine, right, your ticket vending machine. So those should probably be a family of structures in that three-dimensional realm that really are more considered. And I guess there will be artwork here, and I wasn't a proponent of trying to create a tree canopy, but if there's a way to have a suggestion of that kind of three-dimensional realm that we exist under, and I'm not sure what that would be. If there's something that's possible, then examining that would be an interesting exercise, because there was that kind of three-part of landscape with this thing going through it. So these two roads going through it. So I don't know if there's something you can do with that, but anyway, it's a way to be respectful of what was there without kind of parroting what was there, maybe a reinterpretation of it in some manner. I know you can't do anything about it, but I just have to comment about the unfortunate kind of left turns and that intersection that kind of disrupts everything. It's a very kind of unfortunate deal, but I think other than that, it's a great important link in a system in a very important place, and I would just emphasize for you to remember that it is an important place. And I would echo Dave's kind of cautionary phrase about being clear about what's of the Halpern era and then what your interventions are, so that they're very clear. If you're using a concrete that's like replicating the Halpern concrete, I would probably not recommend that in that right away. I think that's what you said before, James, that maybe something that is unique that does take its starting point from the Halpern concrete, but then extends it in some way, infuses it with, again, 21st century technology and approach, might be something more recycled content or whatever it might be. But other than that, thanks for coming in today.
Jane.
Thanks. I think what I take away from that particular district is just a lushness of landscape. And I think the thing that I'm concerned about with this is just because you are taking out so many trees, not just a few trees, that this is going to feel very bare and strikingly different. So just understanding that, you know, you have to take out the trees to put in what you're putting. And I do agree that taking them out of the median does help kind of open the whole thing up. But I would really pay attention to what you're doing on the sides and really try to bring some of that character, that lushness of landscape back where you can. And it's going to be really tricky just with all the driveways and everything going on. But I would just encourage you to you know, really look at that closely and really try to tie those kind of all those loose ends together in an organized way to the degree that you're able to. I really like that you're trying the eco track, and I'm really excited about that. I've seen it really successful in a few other cities with grass, not with sedum, so it's going to be really interesting to see how that works. But kudos to TriMet for trying it out, and I hope that you're able to expand that into other areas. I do agree with David that I think that because this is a special place, I would really consider the shelters as being something special and a little bit different than what else is happening on the mall. But I am glad that you did go away from the eco roofs on them, because I was just thinking what those were going to look like in winter and the chances that they're going to look ratty, et cetera. I'm glad you're going with the glazed. Thanks.
I'm just going to add confusion, because I actually think you should stick with the shelters that are on the mall and have the consistency and tie, which I guess kind of goes back to David Keltner's comments. In general, I think I can appreciate both David's comments. Somewhat stuck in the middle there, probably could still be convinced, and it's just probably because I need a little more detail one way or the other. I can see, you know, I think it was Randy Gregg yesterday was talking about design, and it's just parts is parts, so be careful of that. Don't have too many just little things to try to make it unique. And but I can see the reason for doing it. So it'll be great. I don't know. I'm not going to be very helpful. Sorry.
The end of the day.
We're sort of here to be helpful, but it doesn't always work. So I guess I kind of fall in line with the school of thought that says beware of Halpern creep as well. I mean, when I saw that it was sort of extending across the street, I was thinking about, okay, so the next parcel, when that gets redeveloped, is someone going to be tempted to keep pulling it into their property and keep pulling it along? And while that's laudable on some level, it's also maybe inaccurate and again, sort of paying homage to history. And I think you have an idea about what you're doing that may not translate to their plans 20 years down the line. They may not know what your idea was and why you were doing what you're doing. And so the impulse might be to continue to kind of pull that in where it was meant to land where it did and stop there. So that being said, but I had some concerns about that. And then this, when I started thinking about that, my next question was, well, where is the gateway to this district, to this Halperin sequence? And is this transit station becoming a de facto gateway? And how are we treating that gateway? And is it in fact a gateway? Is it exciting to land here? Is it sort of disappointing to land here? So what's the experience going to be? And how are we going to invite people in to that area via this station, assuming that people get off and maybe for the first time discover? I mean, I'm imagining people coming from Milwaukee for work. And maybe their stop is actually a couple stops down the line, but they discover this passing through on the train. They're like, man, I'm going to get off there and walk that. That's really cool. How do we treat that as a gateway, which I think the station is going to kind of de facto be for the time being until something happens south? So I don't have an answer for you. I agree with David Wark that I'm not entirely comfortable with trying to replicate the concrete exactly and all of that. But there has to be a way that we can kind of design an answer to what Halperin was doing and an answer to the fact that this is going to become kind of a de facto gateway and have it be both of the system and also kind of an exciting moment in the system. And that is tough. When we're talking about a transit stop, and you have a really tough job ahead of you. So, I mean, I appreciate the agency's efforts to take each of these stations and try to do something special with them. I understand how hard it is, and I think in other cities people are just like, just put the thing down through. We're going to drop our station stuff in there and get out. And you guys are spending a lot of time on this, and I appreciate that effort. And since we're here, and since we're talking about it on this level, I guess I would encourage you to push just a little bit harder and really think about the fabric that you're tying into in terms of what you're now doing for Halperin's piece and how you're engaging in that sequence and how you can honor it without aping it.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, I appreciate everyone else's consideration and thoughtfulness on this project. So, do you guys have any questions of us?
I have a question, but not of you.
Okay.
Would that be me?
My question is, does this discussion give staff adequate feedback to process our Type 2 application?
As is, or what do you mean?
I took lots of notes, so yes.
So I just want to maybe, the organization we were talking about, just to be sure, I heard things that were certainly actionable, but just to kind of flip through for Tim's benefit, sort of the special or non-standard and good feedback, and I think, and I'll let James say if he disagrees, but a very actionable feedback on where to take each of these elements. But really specifically, the notion of a special paving in those area, that area, special paving treatments there, EcoTrack, and then, a shelter that has a foot in non-standard and a foot in standard. Will you be able to take care of us?
For the record, I look forward to working with you on the Type 2 application.
I have no further questions.
Very good. All right. See, it all works out.
I have some questions.
Oh.
Okay. Can you go? I'll go back. My understanding of the Design Commission deliberations or comments is that this is not compelling. Do not do this. This is not compelling. Do not do this. This is compelling. Please do this. this is compelling. Please go further.
I like the concrete crosswalks. I think having special crosswalks there is a good thing to have.
Yeah. I would say that the Halperin is the starting point, not the end point. So start with the Halperin and then move it. Like I think Gwen said it very well.
Yeah,
honor him, but don't ape him.
Don't do something fun and interesting there. Okay. I'm just saying somehow find a way to bridge to make it interesting and a gateway, but you don't necessarily have to match the concrete color or, you know, or anything. I mean, I just, to me, you then sort of, especially if you take it across the street, you kind of give permission to somebody else to just keep pulling it in, and I don't think that's your intent. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll see you again soon.